Even though Mr. Cook is on his way, we're going to go ahead and start. I like to start my meetings exactly right on time, which I apologize for running a few minutes late right now, dealing with other Pearl issues. And so at this time, Shirley, are you going to take the notes and call the roll? And okay, we would call the roll, and then we'll just go around and introduce each other until we get started. So if you would, please.
Betty Glick?
Here.
Linda Murphy?
Here.
Bill Smith?
Here.
Norm Blakely is not available on Mondays. Rick Cook? On his way. Brian Zach?
Present.
Ruby Dennison?
Speaking.
Gary Superman?
Here.
Lynn Hall will be absent today. Joe Arness?
Here.
Staff also?
Yes, please.
Donnie Blankenship?
Here.
Bill Holloway?
Here.
Colette Thompson?
Here.
Chris Klo?
Here.
And Shelley Singer, present.
Okay. And again, we heard the names, but let's just introduce ourselves. I think we know everybody, but just as a matter of courtesy. So start with you, Linda, and then just go around, please.
Linda Murphy, Kenai Borough Assembly District 4, representing Soldotna and Mackey Lake Precincts.
Gary Superman, Public.
Joe Arness, School District.
Bill Smith, District 8, Assembly.
Chris Klo, GIS.
Bill Holloway, GIS.
Colette Thompson, Legal.
Ruby Dennison, Nanelchek. And Betty Glick. And Shelley Sainer is the Deputy Bureau Clerk and will be taking the minutes. And we did have this meeting advertised, did we not?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And at this time, also note that Johnny is here, the Bureau Clerk. Public comment, since we have no public, we will just go over the rest of it.
And we can note that Brian is on the phone.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Brian Zach is on participating via teleconference. And so then that brings us down to item two. I don't know if you all have any preconceived ideas or not, but for the 2000 reapportionment committee, we had our first organizational meeting on May the 11th, at which time, back then, we reviewed the 1991 reapportionment committee activities. Then the overview did follow with an open discussion on the issues that the committee would be looking at. The most important would be maintaining the continuity of communities, such as neighborhoods, as much as possible, while striving to meet that one man, one vote objective. And Mr. Holloway and Mr. Klo were from the GIS department were also at that time requested to prepare maps using the census block numbers from the April 2000 census. We had maps prepared delineating 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13 member districts. And then the first few meetings we discussed the possibility of these different districts, and we adjusted and readjusted from time to time. And with the wonderful help from GIS, Bill, and Chris, they produced us our maps that we consider, because each and every time you just tweak the boundary line just a tad, it can skew the population. And again, the population is supposed to be as equal as much as possible in all of the representative districts. And again, you are allowed a discrepancy of about 10% with regards to the final information. And then over the next few committees, we discussed and, as I said, adjusted and readjusted the different boundaries. Then the committee, after they came to some final conclusions on those possibilities, we went to the different areas of the borough for their input. We went to Seward, to Homer, and we went out to Nikiski. And although the attendance at these different meetings was very slim, the majority of the information or the comments that we received were on the 9 or the 13 member proposals. And so then we came back to the committee, and again, we had two different members on that reapportionment committee at that time who did their own work on reconfiguring some of the proposed districts, which were for the 9 and the 7-member districts. And so we continued to refine and define these. We had our final meeting on June the 21st because we do have deadlines by which we must have our business concluded. And at that time, we recommended, or we informed the assembly that we had considered 7, 11, 9, and 13 member districts, but that based on the comments we received, we were recommending they put forth at least 2 different plans, one for 9 members and one for 13 members, because those were the 2 that were ranked accordingly. Also at that organizational meeting back at the beginning, we did discuss the possibility of reviewing and reapportioning the Board of Education as well as the Planning Commission. And in the end, we did nothing with the Planning Commission because that remains within the purview of the mayor and the assembly to make those kinds of appointments. And so with regards to the reapportionment of the Board of Education at that time, we did have no authorization or direct authorization from the assembly to even consider that. However, subsequent to that, they did pass a resolution 2001-68 authorizing the committee to review the reapportionment of the Board of Education. And so we decided that in order to give this full attention, we would wait until after the summer of 2001 to take that up under consideration. We ended up meeting in, I believe, December the 7th, we finally made a recommendation to the Borough Assembly to put on the ballot of 2002 2 different plans for the reapportionment of the Board of Education. One was a 7-member district, which was at that time the status quo, and have the members run at large. The other plan that we put forth was a 7-member district to be according to the districts. However, in conferring with the borough clerk, the actual plans were for 7 members to remain status quo, elected at large, or to district the Board of Education to a 9-member committee and or a board, and that was the one that passed in October of 2002. Right from the get-go, this time we've been requested to include looking at the possible reconfiguration of the Board of Education as well as the Assembly District. And so that's a quick overview of where we were in 2001 and where we are today. And also note for the record that Mr. Cook has arrived and has been here for this presentation. And unless there are some questions right off, then we'll just go down to item E on the agenda, which is an overview of the 2011 process and timeline, and the borough clerk is going to do that for us. And that's in our paper. We have notebooks here. Everything is lined out for us really good.
It's tab 7. This is the timeline that I prepared based on what you guys did in 2001. So let's look forward to where we are now. At the time the resolution went in front of the assembly and it was approved, you had 49 days to come up with your final report. So we obviously didn't get on that the next day. So essentially, the reapportionment committee will need to hold as many meetings as they can between now and what is recommended to be around June 13th. So that you can start taking your plans on the road to visit all the communities within the borough and take public comment on those plans. That would be the week of June 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. and then come up with your final report, which needs to be submitted to the clerk's office for inclusion in the assembly packet on June 23rd. So your time is short. And to clear up some of the questions that have come up to this point is, in 2001, the plan, the assembly put two plans in front of the voters, like Betty said. In 2002, the assembly districts that were affected then were re-voted on in 2002. So in 2002, six of the nine ran for re-election. So I know that was a question for some folks. And as far as how the lines were drawn, there was an ordinance that authorized the clerk, at the time was Linda Murphy, and GIS to then draw the lines for that nine-member district in accordance with what the state had done, because the state does not actually draw their precinct lines until much later on in the year. So we wouldn't have those lines drawn for this committee to consider. So your consideration is apportionment, not the districts. Do you have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Oh, I do have one question, okay. Johnny. On this timeline, you said something about the June 23rd packet. That's actually the July 5th packet.
It's the July 5th meeting, but the deadline is
June.
Yes.
Is the 23rd for us to finish our report.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility that we could swap the East Peninsula and the South Peninsula, or put Southwest, because if we have people traveling, they might want to not come to the Central Peninsula twice. They might want to stay over the night, and then so you didn't have South in between East and Central.
I think that's completely up to this body. However you decide you want to do those meetings, and we'll notice according to what you guys decide.
Does anybody have any objections to reversing the hearing dates of June the 14th and the 15th? And just making the South Peninsula the 14th?
Wouldn't it be the...
If I understood you correctly.
16th or the 15th?
Could work either way.
You wanted to put Central between East and South? Was that the intent?
I wanted to put East and Central together.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that takes. That can move South.
Oh, I see. So we just need 14 and 15.
Well, North, I'm thinking, would be... Well, maybe I should understand where East Peninsula is.
Seward.
That would be Seward.
Okay. So I'm going the wrong direction here. Seward. So then North would be Hope?
North is Nikiski.
What they did last time was it was a meeting at the Nikiski High School, I believe. And East would have been at the Seward City Hall or the high school there. South would be your area, and then here at the peninsula at the
So I'm confused on my left and right. So really what I think belongs together is North and Central.
And might as well get East in that group. And so put South last.
Pardon me?
Might as well get North, Central, and East in the same, in order.
So these we're going guys North, can come up Central, South, East. Is that?
No, we're going North, Central, East, South.
Does anybody else have any problems with restructuring the hearing dates? Does that fit with everybody's schedule? How about city council meetings? Does that? Because these meetings are held in the evenings. And
I mentioned this to Gary Knopf when he asked me to do this. I leave here on June 13th and I don't get back till the 28th.
Okay.
If that means that somebody else should occupy the seat that I'm in, then you can do that. I can be involved in everything until the committee meetings, but I won't be here for those.
Well, Mr. Arness is the alternate, and so
he's the alternate for Lynn Holt. He's the school board.
Just here
alternate.
Representing the school district at this moment. Lynn.
So we don't have any alternates actually for the board. So, I mean, if you look back in the minutes from 2001, there wasn't complete attendance at every meeting in 2001. There was people that were able to come and, you know, say what they needed to say. And, of course, we want everybody to be there. I'm hoping that a lot of your discussion will be, you'll be honed in on something by June 13th. So you'll kind of know what his opinion is.
I'm fully involved up until the 13th, and then I have an obligation I have to be out of state.
Okay. And Betty, and as I remember it, 10 years ago, those hearings in, you know, North, Central, East, South, the committee really didn't do a lot of discussion except to lay out what, you know, the however many plans, and then we just used that time to take testimony from the public, and then we did have minutes of that testimony.
Yes, as I understand, the minutes of all of those meetings are currently on the website, or...
They're not on the website.
Oh, yeah, you
but
have
anybody
them.
Who wants... Well, they're on my website.
Oh, okay.
anybody who wants copies of anything that was done in 2001, we'd be happy to provide you with all of that. We could do it electronically, too, because, you know, we're trying to go get those, so...
Okay. But they are available, and that way you could just see what the comments were if you're so inclined. But I'm reasonably certain comments will... maybe be the same or change this time around, who knows. And with regards to this timeline then, are there any other questions or recommendations from any of the other members?
Brian, Zach, I have a city council meeting on June 13th.
Okay.
Monday.
Okay. Well, as the borough clerk just pointed out, not everybody can attend all these different meetings, and so it would be understandable if you didn't make it that time, but if you could participate otherwise, it would be most helpful. And then, as Ms. Murphy has pointed out, during those public hearings, we usually just had the maps for the public's consideration, and then we just opened up for public comments. And also, as has been pointed out, there will be minutes taken and be available for review by the next meeting. So at least then you would be right up to date on what the comments have been to that point in time. So that way everybody's right up to speed. But duly noted. Are there any other questions or comments then? Okay, Ms. Blankenship, if you would please, or did that conclude your
unless overview? There's any additional questions, I didn't have anything else to add.
Okay. And then in regards to that, we have this afternoon meeting, but, well, I guess maybe I'm getting ahead of this because I want to see if we have any ideas when we get down here as to thoughts as to the configuration or proposed configuration of the assembly, whether you want to stay at status quo and just tweak the boundaries. A couple of the comments that I've received is, one, remain with the status quo and then just tweak the boundaries, or make a three district assembly representation with three members within each district running at large. And that was one of the other comments that I had heard. I haven't heard anything in regards to expanding the representation, as was a primary discussion in 2001, or to reduce the membership of the assembly. And so if we could sort of zero in, maybe that would cut down a little bit on some of the discussions, whether we want to look at two, three, four different kinds of proposals, or just pick out a couple. We are recommending, we do need to recommend to the assembly at least two plans.
I was actually hoping that Colette would address that in her...
Okay. And Gary, you had a question or a comment?
Well, if you're not done, then I got a question for Colette.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, maybe I'm just getting ahead of where we want to be. And Ruby?
Maybe I missed it, but did we make a decision on which days we were going to be in which places?
Did you get that?
I did. What I heard was a recommendation. I didn't hear any approval or motion.
Okay.
What I heard was a recommendation to go north, then central, then east, then south.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
It does.
It just flips some of the days or places around. The dates remain the same.
Right.
But the areas will be changed. So. Okay. Well, let's go on then to the legal overview. And Ms. Colette Thompson, the borough attorney, is here to enlighten us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I intend to just briefly go through some of the legal considerations for you. Primarily, I'm going to be refreshing your memory, I think. But as you're aware, the task force purpose, you've got a handout that has the same thing, but the task force was created to conduct public hearings and make recommendations to the Assembly for reapportionment. And the reapportionment, as Madam Chair said, is for both the Assembly and the local Board of Education. And you are not required to recommend the same reapportionment proposal for the Assembly and the Board of Education. You could complicate, there are different options available to you. There's no legal requirement that you do the same thing. That was something that was voluntarily chosen 10 years ago. As you're aware, the reason for this is that the determination has been made based upon the most recent census that the current districts are malapportioned, and that means that they don't provide for equal, or not consistent with the equal representation standards of the United States Constitution. U.S. Constitution means that approximately equal value or equal weight must be given to each person's vote. The Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that deviations of up to 10% from the one person, one vote standard does not require extra justification in order to be upheld. So that's our safe harbor for most purposes. I'm sorry?
Can you clarify that is 5% and above and 5% below? Is that how that has been deemed?
Right, that's what I'm getting. Yeah, the next slide.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's important. Here's an example of how you determine that. The total population, for example, let's say it's 50,000. We know it's a little over 55, but and there are 10 districts. This is for simple math. Divide the total population by 10 districts. So the ideal world would have 5,000 residents in each of the 10 districts. So in determining whether or not we're within the correct allowable range, the courts look at the overall range to decide whether the deviation is within 10%. Obviously, 10% of 5,000 is 500 people. So let's say that we had, of the 10 districts, 4,800 is the lowest number in one district and 5,300 is the highest in another district. We're okay because the total deviation is 500, which is 10%. If we had 3,600 in one district as the lowest population, and that should be 5,200, I missed that, instead of 4,200 in another, that would not work because it should be 46 and 5,200 in the other, it won't work because the difference would be 600, which is a more than 10% total deviation from the norm. Another thing to, and so what Johnny is saying is that you look at the norm and the total deviation is 10%. It's not 10% above 4,000 or 5,000 and 10% below 5,000. It's a total of 10%. And then a couple of terms that, just to refresh your memory, there are two different meanings. Reapportionment is changing the number of seats in a district, and redistricting is changing the boundary lines of each district or eliminating districts, actually, which is another option. And as you know, the Assembly and Board of Education now have 9 districts, and one member is elected who resides in each district, and they're elected by the residents of that district. But the statutes provide for different options, and you've been provided copies of the statutes, I believe, from Michelle. Yeah, from Johnny. Tab 4, okay. That's referencing Alaska Statute 29-20070. And the first option is to have at-large representation. And that's where you would be determining or recommending a number of assembly members, how many you want to have. But the there are no districts. It would just be people from throughout the borough would vote for that number of people. That does not require reapportionment if the if the voters were to approve changing from our current system to that, because there's no equal representation problem. Everybody elects everybody to the assembly. Elects every member to the assembly. The last three do require voter approval. The first is where we have a person, one or more people from a district, who are elected by all the voters in the borough, but the candidate must reside in that district. Secondly is what we have today, by district, elected only by the voters in each district. The third is where some people are elected by at large and some are by district. And because you've got some districting, that must be approved by the voters also. Are there any questions about those options?
And Brian, for your information, there is a handout here regarding this presentation that Ms. Thompson is making. And so I'll ask the borough clerk or borough deputy clerk to make sure you get a copy of that in the mail so that what she is saying is before you in black and white then.
All right. Thank you. Electronic would be fine if that's capable.
Okay. However, just so you get a copy of it.
Okay.
And in your considerations, you can recognize that each you can have more than one member elected from each district, and you can have different numbers elected from each district. I'm not sure what that the difference there is.
Well, Anchorage has that. They have some one single member districts and some two member districts.
Thank you. That's one and I think three. They have some that have a three person.
I'm not sure. I know they have a couple of
twos. Yeah. And then gerrymandering, we've all heard that term, and that's the Black's Law Dictionary, but it's in a nutshell, it's dividing up your boundaries to accomplish an illegal motive, such as ensuring that a person of a certain political persuasion is elected to office from that district because you know that more of one of the two major Republic or Democratic parties are primarily residing in a certain area, or different minorities are grouped together. They're unlawful purposes, and so you need to be careful when you're considering boundaries that you make sure there aren't unintended consequences of that nature. Even if we're within this 10% rule, if there is a motive to perceived or found to actually accomplish those purposes, even within the 10% rule, the apportionment could be found illegal. The Constitution provides for those factors to be considered in redistricting at the state level, and it's appropriate to consider those at the local level, and those are contiguity, compactness, and socioeconomic integration. And it's the last one that's been the subject of a number of lawsuits, whether or not you're splitting up people of similar socioeconomic backgrounds and therefore accomplishing an illegal purpose. And that's it that I have for your little overview from the legal perspective. Yes.
Do we have to consider, like the state is considering the minority, they're giving priority to the minority districts? Do we have to consider minority?
Yes. So you need to be careful that we're not establishing something mm-hmm. that will make it impossible, for example, for minorities to, or presumably right. impossible, to elect a member who is a minority. Now, there's case law regarding, it's not appropriate to carve out areas so that you, for example, divide up a minority group so much that it's very unlikely that a minority group would be able to elect a member of their minority. Yeah.
So do we have minority information?
as big as you do.
Just a question. Wouldn't that be more if they were actually redistricting and drawing lines?
Because we're only looking at apportionment, not districting.
That's districting, right. That's true.
That's a redistricting
I'm sorry.
Issue,
yeah.
Not a reapportionment issue.
Okay.
But if you get into redistricting, which you could do as a part of this reapportionment, that would then be something to consider. You're both looking very confused.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't think this committee does anything with districting.
Well, we need to get clear here on what we're doing, because I've just discovered today that reapportionment is a determination of how we want to have the borough represented. Mm-hmm. Redistricting is something that apparently the last time
I did.
You and the folks from the GIS did,
right.
And just redrew the lines to fit what the apportionment committee decided they want in the way of representation.
Exactly.
Right, in conjunction with what the state precincts did.
Is there...
Well, we interfered with the lines part two.
The committee did discuss it.
Yeah.
They looked at the different... What would
right.
happen to the numbers? You did, like, if then
right.
scenarios.
Yeah. If
no.
seven then, if nine then, if 11 then.
Right.
What the numbers going to look like for representation.
And then
right.
we had maps that showed approximately how that would look.
Right. Right.
But the actual lines weren't drawn until later after the state had determined what the new precinct lines were.
Right, and you won't know that until after the election. So I guess that that's true for purposes of the final lines. But we did distribute a map with the voter pamphlet indicating approximate locations.
Exactly.
And people did look at that. So I guess I'm...
And we tried to keep them sort of... we didn't have anything that was like a donut district or...
Right,
you know.
Right. So I guess that's what I'm looking at is, if we're going to... If the committee is going to recommend changing the reapportionment, there is going to be, likely going to be some spillover into districting, but absolutely the final line drawing has to occur after the election, once the voters decide on apportionment. But they will want a visual depiction of how the lines are expected to fall roughly. You won't have the right final.
Well, this is the kind of information we received the last time, and we had this kind of information for 7, 9, 11, and 13, and it shows the different districts and the population within those proposed districts for these different configurations.
Right.
And again, we had maps that accompanied this kind of information, which was produced by the GIS, and as I said, they were very, very helpful. We couldn't accomplish what we did without them. And then every time it was tweaked, we came back and got a new configuration, because you have your targeted population, and then as you can see, you have the different districts down through, and the population within those based on the census. So this was the kind of information that was generated for the committee's consideration at the last time. And again, it just, I can just pass this around. This was the 9-member one, and if you want to just peruse it and look at it. But that, as I said, we had that kind of information for 7, 9, 11, and 13. And again, every time we tweaked a little bit of the boundary or whatever, we got a new packet of information that changed the population, the targeted population, and then the population within each one of those districts. And it does have the different areas within those districts. Like in District 1, it included Tionic, Beluga, Nikiski, Solomatoff, Kenai City, and then the outside census designated places. And then that was what made up District 1. So we got this information each time for the committee's consideration and review, and that way you could look at the maps and look at the population. And so this is what we're talking about, correct?
Yes.
And then in the final analysis, the as I pointed out, the reapportionment committee made recommendations for, we gave the assembly consideration for four plans, but we recommended the two highest vote getters from among the reapportionment committee, which was 9 and 13. And then, as has been pointed out, after that was decided and the state finalized their districting, then the actually boundary lines were drawn to accommodate that population within those districts. So we do the...
So do I understand then that one of the options would be that today we could say amongst ourselves we are content with 9 member elected within the districts, and then that configuration would remain the same, and then that the lines would be redrawn once the state has finished its magic to accomplish that purpose. That is one of the alternatives.
That is one of the alternatives, but I believe that resolution says that we need to make 2 recommendations for the assembly consideration. And maybe you're going to address that, Ms. Thompson. So that was what I started to talk about a while ago, and then I'm going, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we just needed to back up and go into proper procedure.
Madam Chair,
yes,
the
please.
Resolution provides that the reapportionment committee shall file a report recommending 1 or more plans.
Oh, 1 or more. Okay.
My question, Colette, is let's say we only submit 1 plan to the voters and the voters vote it down, what happens?
If that were to occur, then if we don't, we could either have a special election, but within 6 months, the commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs can come in and require reapportionment and draw the lines and stuff.
But the voters aren't actually approving lines, so I guess my question is, let's say we say, we tell the voters we want to stick with a 9-member assembly, and that's the only thing that we give them with approximate lines here, and the voters say no, that
right.
They don't want a 9-member assembly, then what?
But I believe that what they do, I'm sorry, I'm pulling books here. The commissioner provides, again, for the, they will, by order, direct the assembly to prepare a reapportionment ordinance that meets the standards and submit it to the voters. If it's not been approved by the voters, the commissioner shall provide for the reapportionment of the assembly himself or herself.
So. And then the other section, 2920.080B, says that the assembly shall provide by ordinance for a change in existing apportionment of the assembly whenever it determines that it's appropriate. Okay, so that's
a different
it's
situation.
It's not something that you have to do with something that is a change.
Right, that's at midterm, mid in the middle of a 10-year period. Typically.
Who's the commissioner?
Commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs.
Community, yeah.
It said not called that anymore. That shows how long you've
think,
been.
It's yeah, I'm trying to
something
think.
Community
it's
Development and something. And
Department of Community and Economic Development.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I still call it CRE, too.
The Community and
Community, Commerce, and Economic.
That's it.
Today.
Well, they went back to DCRA for a while, which really confused me. But thanks, Linda.
So, with regard to the numbers, it's really not necessarily 5% above and 5% below, because on the example you had there, you could have 6, if you have 10 districts, you could have 6 of them at 4 above and 4 of them at 6 below, and you'd still have your 10% deviation.
Correct. It's a total 10% from the lowest
right.
to the highest.
So we're just, you know, it's just not 5 here, 5 above and 5 below.
Brian, do you have any questions or observations, sir?
No, thank you, Madam Chair, but I'm following along.
Okay. Also, that will be transmitted to you are maps that we received, a packet of maps today, as well with the different districts and whatnot. So we'll make sure you get a copy of that as well for your review prior to the next meeting. Anything else then?
No, thank you, Madam.
Does anybody else have any questions for Ms. Thompson for clarification?
So we're required, I can't remember, it has to go out to vote here this fall. More than likely two options. But I'm a little confused on the some of the options available under Title 9. It seems to me we went into this, some of these, this at-large elected by all rural voters. Did we get some kind of something back from the courts during the term limit issue as far as control outside the district?
That related to the chair?
Yes, please.
Okay, the question there was that the, if I'm correct in what you're thinking, the term limit initiative was made applicable immediately upon its passage, the way it was drafted. In 2007, if it had passed, which it did, it was to apply to candidates elected in 2007. Because of the districting, the court had trouble with the issue of the people in the area outside of those districts being able to vote on this area-wide term limits
mm-hmm.
provision, which then affected mm-hmm. the people running in the district.
Well, so what's the difference between that problem and having people elected at large by everybody within a district?
Because there's that's there's no expectation that just the people in that district vote for that person. It's set up that the entire borough, it's an area-wide position.
As long as it's something that's been set up, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And it affects all districts equally.
So if you have three districts and three members within each district running at large, would they not just be voted upon by the members of that district, or are you saying it, because they're running at large, they would be voted on the entire population of the borough?
It could be either way. It depends on how it's structured.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just trying to
follow
your train of thought.
Well, premature, I guess, for the discussion, but it's unreasonable for an assembly person to have to run borough-wide. So, I mean, even though it's an option.
Well, you can see that in big cities, that would be a desirable thing because, you know, the district is 10 square blocks. But in our case, you know, it's how many thousand miles you can cover.
I'm not sure it's desirable even in a city because you have different sort of community ethic and communities feel differently within the same city about things. And if, you know, you might create a system that would mean if you have an overall, like very conservative city, a pocket of more liberal people and everybody in the city voted, you might be saying that a liberal would never be on that assembly. I mean, you know, I just think that would
I lived
really
in Portland
skewed.
When that happened.
Let me go back just a second to the 90 or 92 reapportionment. You were there, I think, Betty.
Yes.
And I remember Tom Bedeker was the ramrod of that. And we were, it seemed to me we were restricted. This was not an option at that time. That he was adamant about the one man, one vote, and hence we went to the either 9 or 11 member assembly with those assembly people being elected in that district only. And those were like, at that time, were the options that he said we should be going toward to stay out of the courts. I don't know what's changed in the courts since then, but I know the one man, one vote, that situation hasn't changed.
So. That hasn't changed, yeah. The well, the if you elect people from the districts, the residents of the district, it's critical that the districts still meet the equal representation requirements. Otherwise, you know, you have a person running from a much smaller, much larger area, a resident of that area, and you know, even though they're elected area-wide, it's important that the district from which they're elected still be equal. And it's possible that the statute, I can't see how it was changed, but it was changed in 2000, and it may be that that was the statement that was added to it, an option that was added to it since then, since Tom was here.
That, was that when the weighted voting got changed?
It may have.
Weighted voting is illegal.
Well, the weighted voting was changed quite a while ago.
That was in the 72, I believe.
When that went away.
I'm glad I wasn't a clerk with the borough back when they had weighted voting.
Well, the weighted voted was during the 70s and the early 80s, and then I think during the reapportionment of 1980 is when that weighted voting went away, because then we still had 16-member assembly, but then I believe it was one vote per assembly member. But prior to that, in the late 70s, and up until the 1980 reapportionment, that was a weighted vote. And so if you go back and read some of those minutes, it's
Francis
like
Reimer needed
76.5 to 28-something.
Well, I think they were voted on borough-wide, too, prior to that.
Oh, yes, the 16-member assembly was definitely voted on borough-wide from the very beginning of the borough up until well, we had 16 members up until the 1990s.
There were also members that were appointed by the cities to the borough.
Right.
But that was
there was people from outside the cities had the, they were voted on area wide.
Yeah.
But the city representation was appointed in the 70s, because like Earl Cooper from Homer was a representative, and I can't remember who from Kenai. I think John Steinbeck was for a while. But in the 70s is when the city councils, when you ran for the city council, you ran for this seat that was city council and borough assembly. That was in the 70s. And then that changed too, I believe, in 1980 from the weighted vote and from that kind of representation to total 16 members who ran at large. I guess I'm dating myself.
Well, I didn't mean to get us off on it.
No, but it's sort of interesting to kind of think about what the history was and where we began and what we did and where we are now and how did we arrive there. Yeah, let's see, when your dad was on there back in the 70s, the early 70s, it ran from at large and weighted vote. But I didn't mean to digress so far, but I mean, it was, that was sort of the progression of where we came from, the weighted vote and who was elected and how, to 16 members to 9 members to where we are now. So, Ms. Thompson.
Thank you. I was just reminded by Mr. Holloway that I had not mentioned that this meeting is, this group is subject to the Open Meetings Act, and I did want to make that clear, and I apologize for, I'm kind of going
it is open, yeah. And we did advertise
you did.
It.
You did.
Yes, it was advertised in the paper.
Yes, in all three, Sewer Log, Homer, and all three papers on the
council. Okay. And just to remind everybody, I think you're all very familiar with the Open Meetings Act, but the outside of published meetings, please refrain, you must refrain from discussing reapportionment committee meetings, a reapportionment committee meeting business, matters upon which you're empowered to act. Let's see, in this group, up to 3 of you can discuss outside of published meetings, but it's not recommended that you do that. You know, you should come back to the committee and divulge what was discussed, because it's part of the public process, how you arrive at your decisions. And the Open Meetings Act is designed to include the public in the entire decision-making process.
It isn't 2 or more for
3
advisory?
They changed that.
Oh, they changed
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's 3 now, so they're consistent.
Well,
it was 2 or more.
to go with the spirit of open meetings, and perhaps we're going to have two doors open in this room instead of one.
Absolutely. Is there an air in here? Could you ask Jim White if you would turn that thing on? Well, somebody turn it up to 95 and then turn it
Okay, well, maybe everybody else knows the number we're working with, but I don't see it here.
Well, maybe when Mr. Holloway gets up here, they're going to make the presentation, they'll probably address it.
All right, good.
Okay, are there any other questions then for Ms. Thompson at this point in time? And maybe as we go along, you'll think of something else. Okay, then that brings us down to item G, which is the GIS overview. And Mr. Holloway, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. through funding from the Borough Clerk's Office, we acquired a piece of software called District Solve. It is a redistricting tool that works on our GIS mapping system. It's produced by a company called ArcBridge out of Hendon, Virginia. We evaluated several different packages that are out there. We attended a webinar on this one to see how it functioned, and it seemed to be the one very closely resembling the one we used in the year 2000. What it will do is there's a sample that I gave you in the handout that shows where we are today. It's got the 2010 census data loaded. It gives you the updated population figures and then all the map district boundaries from our existing maps. So as we work, there will be a laptop projector with this software and the data on it at all of the committee meetings, and we are able even to take them to public hearings. We'll produce hard copies as well, have maps to display and show. We can do interactive adjustments. The population information is collected by census block, so we can aggregate or dissociate census blocks, and there will be a spreadsheet window that will show you the deviation in population as you do so. So it's a very dynamic thing, so we invite you to explore. We'll see what happens if you change this one to change that one, and please do. Don't keep any doubts about, well, what would happen if we were to do this. Go ahead and bring it up and allow us to show you. And hopefully it's a wonderful tool. We were doing this all on paper. We might look at two alternatives and forget the rest of it because it would be so laborious.
So we have the ability to see a digital version. Like if you did a PDF of the entire borough, then we could zoom in on a particular portion or enlarge a particular portion to see the details of that district. I don't know if that would be too large, but if we didn't have a lot of intense color, we might be able to keep down the size of the...
That gets to be a little bit of a problem sometimes. You try to cover such a large area with and get detail. Uh-huh. But we have a plotter that allows us to print on 36-inch wide rolls of paper as long as necessary.
If I want to look at it before I come here,
sure.
Then it's digital. I mean, I work every day with digital plans.
We can circulate PDF file format, which is a public domain graphic file, if you prefer that. That's not a problem as long as it's okay to do so. We look up different scenarios and distribute them prior to the committee meetings. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
For us, it's a matter of pushing a few buttons, so if that's what the committee wants, then we can do that. It's real easy. Just to give you an idea of the software, we got the purchase order on Thursday, I believe. Acquired the software on Friday and had these done in it today.
And how much was it?
$2,500.
Bargain.
We found the money in our existing budget. We did not appropriate any additional funds for it.
Good.
So if there's any questions, that's all I have.
We must have spent 20 times that last time.
No, actually it was about the same price. We spent just a little over $2,000, I think, for the last one. But it didn't have the functionality things that we can do this time.
Well, if they're digital, you'll be able to post them so others will be able to follow the progress.
Sure.
Did you want to comment on any of these maps? I see Chris created this, and if you look at the second page of your map, it gives a breakdown for the different population. The optimum of 6,156, the deviation is 773, which is a percentage of 1,256. And so it just goes down the list, and we get down to eight. The population is 5,412. The optimum is 6,156, and the deviation is a minus 744, so that's a minus 1209. And I just noted that. And then on these others, it does break down the type of people that are within these different populations, such as total number of persons, whether they're white, black, American, Indian, Asian, or Hawaiian, or other configuration. So that gives you an idea of the makeup of the different populations within here. So I don't know if you or Chris want to comment on this, or if anybody has had an opportunity to really look at these. And
the thing I would like to comment on is the scale on the map drawings in the handout that's printed at the bottom is in error. Please ignore that.
Does this include the prison population?
You think, yeah.
I don't know. Does the census collect? They get everybody
just
else.
At some of the breakdowns in the districts, and that question is kind of popped up.
Yeah, this.
It's easy enough to find out. Because if it comes up with a zero within that block where the person is, then they didn't capture it. If it comes up with a number greater than zero,
okay,
we can figure out how many people are actually in there.
Brian, the question was, when you get these maps, the question was whether or not within these districts it includes the prison population. And Mr. Clue is not sure whether it does or not, but he certainly can figure that out or check it out and see. So when you get to looking at these maps, just so you know, that was a question that was raised.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And I assume the rest of the population would be all Alaskan residents, I guess.
Correct. Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Perhaps the borough attorney would answer this on the minority representation. Are there percent triggers that cause us to have to look at making sure that they're not a misrepresentation of minorities? And if so, would we want to list a percentage next to these absolute numbers?
Chair, I'm not aware of a specific percent trigger. We need to look at the overall picture, though, to see if there's, you know, if one district has a much greater percentage than another of any minority.
So we would look at the overall percentage across the borough and compare that big district to see if there's an imbalance or some place that needs to have special attention to ensure minority representation.
I think that's appropriate to take into consideration, as was discussed before, the final lines aren't drawn by this committee, but you consider it in determining the general map that's proposed. So
I still have my question. What was the total number? I mean, I see that it's 9 times 6,156.
55,400 was the number.
55,400.
That round, but that was the number.
Okay.
That was the total census.
Okay.
So how much we grow since the last one?
It depends on where you live, sir.
Well, borough-wide, we went from
it was
49,691 to 55,400.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Chris, did you want to bring forward the one the one area that was going to be probably their biggest challenge.
Problematic?
Yeah,
that would be the, if, with a nine-member assembly, it's the East Peninsula. Because they're
way down,
and then Sterling's way up.
And they butt each other.
Well, that sounds like a self-solving problem.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, those folks in Sterling that end up tied in the sewer might not be happy, but...
Or those folks in sewer that are tied into Sterling.
We ran into an issue last time, too, where the river dividing Funny River Community and Sterling. You know, you try to get this compactness, yet at the same time, if you were a candidate, you would have to travel all the way through Sedona to get back to campaign on the other side of the river.
Without a boat, you have to do that.
And it would be advisable to have a boat if you were running there.
Or a bridge.
I hope we had Grace Marcus's bridge.
Oh, a bridge.
But anyway, those are some of the things you run into.
And those were certainly some of the things we discussed when we were looking at the various configurations of the districts, when we were looking at tweaking the boundaries. And you do need to take into consideration the census-designated places and whatnot. And as I recall, you need to be specific as to what your marker might be to where you began, a river or a specific road or whatever, if you're cutting into these. So there were a lot of issues that we looked at and discussed as we were working through the process. And Ruby, here on this underneath five is your answer to the population and the change in the population from 2000 to now.
Ah, there it is.
Yep.
So there it is. Wasn't quick enough.
So, okay. Are there any questions at this point in time for Mr. Holloway or for Mr. Clue regarding the maps? If not, then that brings us down to item H, which is the reapportionment strategic plan. And I guess that's where I was going a while ago. If we want to decide right up front what we're going to consider, or if we want to look at other configurations and go from there, but it's what, and as Ms. Thompson has pointed out, we have to recommend one or more plans. So as was suggested, we could just recommend the status quo and with the boundary lines being tweaked and no change in the representation, or if we want to give the voters a different configuration for their consideration. Again, as I, at the risk of being redundant, we did work repeatedly with four different maps and populations last time, such as said the 7-11, 7-9, 11, and 13. At one point, we did discuss a five-member assembly, but that was certainly put by the wayside rather quickly as not being very representative of the whole population of the borough. So then we mainly dealt with the four different maps. And again, those were the four configurations that we took to the public hearings. So right now, does anybody have any ideas or how we want to proceed? Gary, do you have any suggestions?
I'd like to see, like we did last time, the breakout for the 11, 13, and see how that would mesh with the lines at this point. Like they're talking about sewers kind of a problem right now, and the only problem, and if you at least gave the option out there for the public to go with the 11 member, that would probably, I guess, satisfy that problem, but it would create some other problem somewhere else for sure. At any rate, I'd like to see the numbers broke out again.
7, 9, and 11? Or 9, 11,
not 7, 9, 11, 13.
Okay.
Well, we've got the 9, so 11,
yes,
13.
Yes, so... And the other thing that I...
Although the map for 9 would change dramatically.
Yeah.
So I kind of like to see a map for 9 as well with the new numbers.
Okay, 9, 11, and 13. And again, remember, when we do change these boundaries, it does sometimes create a domino effect.
Right.
And that was something else that we had to deal with at the last go-around was when we changed. You put this one in balance and two doors down, so to speak, it was completely out of balance. So then you had to back up and reconfigure. So, but those are the kinds of issues that, as we work through this, we'll see. But Gary has made the request that we look at 9, 11, and 13 map configurations for our next meeting. Does anybody have any other suggestions?
Well, I'd like to ask a question.
Yes, please.
For the assembly members, do you feel that as a working team, 9 has been a good number?
I feel like it's as many as is readily workable. I have thought that you could do with less, but then you don't have as fine a grained representation, which I favor. So it's kind of a balance, and 9 seems to work pretty well, actually, and I think the voters selected it last time, and it's panned out okay.
And I wouldn't want to go less than 9, only because I think that you would... Areas like Seward might not have any representation if their district became that large, and if the bulk of their district was, for instance, in Sterling. It would be very difficult for someone who's truly on the East Peninsula to be elected to that seat.
And some of the justification that we heard at our last go-around in 2001 for reapportionment for increased representation was that it would give a better representation of the borough-wide population if 16 members wasn't even considered, but they thought 11 or 13 would give a better representation of the borough-wide population. And as I said early on, the 9 and the 13 member proposals were the ones that received the most comments when we went to these different areas for consideration. So there's been a request then to look at and come up with some proposals for 9, 11, and 13. If you all could do that, please. And I know you can.
I have one more question. I'd like to hear what the school board is thinking at this time.
What the school board is thinking at this time? I'm a guy who really likes to not fix problems that aren't broken, and I think 9, I witnessed 16, I think 9 has worked fine assembly-wise. On our board, it works fine. I look at these numbers, on the total range, you've got a 25% variation, so obviously that's not a tenable situation. But I can't imagine that can't be fixed in some reasonable mechanism. Rather than taking off, my feeling would be rather than taking off and going off into 9, 11, and 13, although it'd be interesting to see the numbers on 11 and 13, but I'd like to see just a map of what could work for 9. Rather than sort of branching out and trying to fix something that I don't really feel is broken. The population voted for 9. They like 9. I think 9 has worked fine. From an economic standpoint, it's better than paying extra people to travel. I can see some logic in staying focused.
Well, as Ms. Thompson pointed out, we can, if I understood you correctly, have a proposal for the Board of Education redistricting and a proposal for the Assembly redistricting, and they could be two diametrically opposed positions. Is that...
They could be completely different, yes.
Did I understand you correctly?
Yes, ma'am.
But I certainly hope we wouldn't get that. The public, I think the public would take us apart, and rightfully so. No, I understand, and I appreciate it, yes.
But it is a possibility, and this is something, you know, we may hear in the public comments, and then again we may not, but I think that the fact that we at least looked at that option is something that we like to at least put out there when we start our meetings, so that they know we're looking at and considering a lot of different areas.
So,
yes, Mr. Smith.
So there's, but there are possibilities of more than one way to draw a nine-member map. And so if we're to task the GIS with coming up with a map, perhaps they could picture two or three reasonable scenarios rather than just one.
Use the Rubik's Cube scenario.
Is that something you can do on the fly?
I can say I want 11 members, and I want the borough equally divided, and I could let the chips fall where they fall. Uh-huh. And the boundaries are drawn that way with the software.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know what algorithm they're using other than just straight division.
But you also will have the ability at the committee meetings to view this and interactively make some changes and see what the result would be, and then look at different scenarios as you see, as you require them.
So this computer is not set up to do that?
No. We just got the software. I just installed the software late Friday afternoon, and I wasn't about to bring down software that I didn't really know
it's,
yet.
It's Monday all the way. What's the problem?
So
it's good off all weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
So what we're saying is, in reply to Mr. Smith's request, is that we would have a map for the 9, 11, and 13, and then, as Mr. Holloway pointed out, and as we did in the past, look at those maps, and then you can begin to tweak the boundaries a little bit to make some different configurations to see how that would work out. That's what I said. Each time we tweaked it, we came up with a new set of this and a new map, and we had several. So at least that way they have a better idea as to what the committee is thinking, and then they can configure accordingly without just kind of hitting and missing and whatnot. So, but anyways, if I heard you correctly. And Mr. Cook, do you have any comments on what you think?
I'm not bashful. I'll make comments if I have.
Okay. And Brian, I'm not sure if you're hearing all of this discussion, that right now we're looking at for our next meeting for coming up with possible 9, 11, and 13 configurated maps with the population accordingly, and then we'll be looking at that and then moving forward with other recommendations or considerations.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and that's the way I understand it. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Dennison.
When you're doing the 9, 11, 13, can you produce a spreadsheet that goes with that? Because maybe you guys are able to do this, but I'm having to flip through here and see the comparisons. Like, I see that the American Indian has 734 in District 3 and 371 in District 7, and if there was a spreadsheet, then you could more easily see on one piece of paper those differences.
Yes,
is that
can be done.
That all squeezes out of there?
Yep.
Okay.
Put it all on the page.
Okay.
As I figure it out.
Any other questions? Okay.
Ben, you brought up, you made comment about three-member districts. And I've been contacted about that as well. The advantage that the individual that talked to me about that was that it would cause voters in each district to have to come to the polls every year rather than one every 3 years when they're under the system now. Did you have a thought as to how that's configured? Are you looking at, you take three of those districts and put them together as a district, you would leave them in separate districts, and the voters in three districts would vote for one person from one of those districts each 3 years? You just touched on it. You didn't.
I just touched on it because I just had a conversation in a grocery store, and they said, oh, when you start reapportionment, why don't you consider this? But then we did not have an in-depth discussion on how that would be configured. And so I thought I'll just bring that to this committee and let us all work on it collectively. Because it wasn't something that I just stood there and we didn't have an in-depth discussion. And I thought, oh, three districts with three members. And I just briefly thought, well, how would that work? So I brought it to your attention so that if there is some interest, we could have some kind of a discussion on what the possibilities would be. But I have no preconception of how that would work. Mr. Smith?
This issue has come up before in consideration. If you think about it, in order to have a three-member district, you might combine Seward, Funny River, and Sterling together. And if you did that, mm-hmm. where would the elected people come from?
Sterling.
None of them would come from Seward. So you'd have three representatives from either Sterling or Funny River. So I find that not acceptable.
Well, you can have all sorts of variations on that theme. And Betty was on the big assembly, so was Joe, and we were districted. There were five districts at that time, if I remember right. Yeah. And, we were from District 4, I believe, out north. We had four of us on the assembly.
Yeah.
And the district took in Kenai. But District 1 was east, and it was primarily Seward. Approximately the same thing it is now, Cooperland. They only had one, I believe. And
It was Seward and Hope because Don McLeod was representative from Seward, and Jim Skogstad was representative from Hope for a lot of years.
Did they have two members?
Yes.
Okay. And the same thing down south, too. I think they had two members of that. John Crawford. I can't remember who else. Anyway. Could have, like you talked about earlier, certain single-member districts and a district with two people in it. And I don't know if that would solve the Seward problem or not. And I don't know that the Seward problem is, the overriding issue with everything here. So.
No, but if you have...
But you can come up with different variations on it.
But the single district, the three members, and obviously the voting block that elects every year is going to be the one that selects.
Right.
And it would be with all three of the districts.
With only nine people on the assembly, it's really kind of unreasonable. Because you come up against the problem that you're talking about, that somebody from Seward probably have a rough time getting.
But it would happen the same way with South Peninsula, because Homer would always mm-hmm. probably have the three representatives, because... although you're taking a lot of people from the outlying areas, none of those communities are very large. Homer has the bulk of, would have the bulk of the population.
I don't think it works with the nine-member assembly.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Mr. Cook?
No, I don't like it very much, but somebody asked me about it, so I just thought I'd bring it up. Now, I like that it gets people to the poll every year, but that's about as far as my liking it goes after that. I don't like the size of those large districts that smaller components of it get overwhelmed by a large population center that might be in one part of the district.
Well, like you, Alex, I said I didn't have an in-depth discussion, and I didn't even in my mind even begin to configure how it would look, and I'm going, oh, well, that's just something I'll bring up to the committee. And I thought that way everybody could have an input on it and whatnot. So I'm making the assumption, which it's always wrong to do, that we don't even want to look at a three-member a three-district assembly made up of three members within each district. So right now we're just looking at 9, 11, and 13. Okay. Any other comments then? So we sort of have our marching orders, and we have no public, so then that brings us down to committee member comments. And Mr. Arness, we'll start with you and go up around and end up with Mr. Supram. Oh, Mr. Bryant's at. Mr. Arness, any comments or observations?
I've already said it. I'll say it again. Just 11% growth in the district, in the borough, whether it warrants to have sea change in how we do business, I don't know that I think it does. I think if we stay with on the course of trying to equally apportion the borough based on what we're currently doing, I think we're just as well off.
Mr. Smith, any comments or observations, please, sir?
Thank you. I think Mr. Arness is pretty much on the right track. I'd just like to see how the numbers and the districts come out. I'm willing to look at the other stuff, too, and see how that would work. The other thing is that the time for the committee meetings, I live in Homer and I work. I have a job. And so 2 o'clock in the afternoon is pretty awkward for me.
That's the other thing I want to address, when it's most appropriate for everybody to get together for meetings, whether afternoon or evening meetings are more appropriate to the majority. And so we'll address that. That's on my list of things to square away. Okay. Further comments? Mr. Cook?
I look forward to working with everybody on the court. Under your leadership, we will plot it right along and get it done.
Okay. Mr. Clue, you have any comments?
Just let me start.
Just say I'll do my best. Mr. Holloway?
No comments. Other than glad to be here.
Okay. Ms. Thompson, you have any comments?
No, it's a good group. I look forward to the process.
Mrs. Dennison?
I really like 9. I like 9 before.
It fits on 2 hands.
Yeah, fits on two hands. I really don't like having night meetings, though.
We'll have to work it out so that we get the majority of the people here. Further comments?
No.
Mr. Zach, do you have any closing comments or observations, sir?
Well, I appreciated the comment that asked about whether the prisoners were included in the. You know, if anybody thinks of any additional oddities as far as how the numbers are brought together, that would be something that we should continue to think about. But that was it. Look forward to serving on the committee.
Okay. Shortly, we're going to discuss what is the most appropriate time for committee meetings, whether it's afternoon or evening. So you might think about that. Ms. Murphy, then?
Not a thing.
Mr. Superman? No comments? Okay, and that brings us down to what would be the most appropriate time for everybody to get together. I realize that staff, it's more convenient for them because they are here working anyways. But what is the most convenient time for the committee to get together?
My schedule is fairly fluid, so as long as it's not Fridays or weekends.
Darn, and here we were just going to have a weekend retreat and do all of this work.
Gary? I don't mind meeting later as long as it's not, later in the evening. 4 or 5 o'clock, I don't know if that's a good compromise or what. Yeah, I would think late in the afternoon would be ideal.
Like 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
4 or 5. Mr. Zach, the suggestion has been made later in the afternoon, like 4 or 5 o'clock, beginning the meetings, and generally they would last about 2 hours.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay. And Mr. Smith, does 4 or 5 help you any?
Oh, yeah. 4 o'clock would be fine. Or even, we might be able
4
to
o'clock.
I love 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And well, we can't do it then.
Okay, so
I have never been in a room with you and been able to agree.
So the next meeting would be at 4 o'clock, and let's see, tomorrow is Borough Assembly Day, and next week we have Board of Equalization meeting. every day. So do you want to meet again this week at the end of the week on Thursday or Friday?
Ask the GIS gentleman whether how long it's going to take to get on top of that program.
It shouldn't be more than an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I played around with it this morning. So
if we set like Thursday at 4 o'clock, does that?
I'd have to leave at 5, but that's fine. I have a 5:30 meeting on Thursday, but I could come for the first part.
Okay. Does Thursday at 4 o'clock?
The 19th.
Yes, the 19th. Does that fit everybody?
I will be out of state for a week beginning Thursday.
But Chris will be here.
Chris will be here.
Okay. Okay, so barring any unforeseen circumstances, we'll set that for Thursday the 19th at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, we may have to do a classified ad, some sort of a smaller ad, and then do PSAs, but we can meet, I believe we can meet OMA's restrictions. Are you comfortable with that, Colette?
I think that's pretty, yeah, if you do several PSAs, yeah. And it would hit the paper.
On Thursday.
Boy, that's cutting it close.
Oh, that's right. We have to advertise.
You just have to make sure you've got it posted on your bulletin board. You know, it doesn't have to be in the paper.
No, it doesn't have to be in the paper. It just has to be noticed. That's why I said PSAs, we could do the...
We also like you to be consistent in the way you...
No, I understand that, but sometimes when you have these kind of committees here...
Would we meet all of our legal requirements to have it on Thursday at 4 o'clock?
Well, at this point, it's not controversial. Your sort of introductory such. It's less than desirable. I think if you could... I don't think it would make it an illegal meeting, but I'd really not want to go any closer than that.
And we'll work with... It'll only be able to meet the Clarion. It'll be the only one we could meet, and we will see if we can't get them to put it in there. If there's any way they could do it Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
And then if from this point forward, you guys, if there's any way you could decide, you know, how you're going to proceed from here, and then we can make sure we meet all of our noticing requirements from this point forward.
It'd be nice if we had a meeting scheduled through the whole...
Yeah, like every Thursday or whatever.
Right. So, well, as I said, next week is all Board of Equalization, so then the next week would begin... what, the 28th, the 29th, something like that?
You have a calendar 30. Under tab 7?
Yes. Okay.
So the next media, so that would be June 2nd.
How many of the committee members are on the Board of Equalization?
Excuse me?
How many committee members are on the Board of Equalization?
Five.
No, how many of us?
Of this committee.
Oh, me.
Okay, so.
And me and staff.
And staff. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yes, you can see my thoughts.
Okay.
And Mondays aren't good. Is that what I understand as far as Mr. Blakely?
Mr. Blakely can't
be here on Mondays.
Mondays aren't
good. Not available on Mondays. Norm is not available on Mondays.
And Tuesday the 31st?
That would work for me.
Tuesday the 31st?
I'm Steph, so I'm not a board member, but I'll be gone from June 27th until, I'll be gone that week until Friday the 3rd. So I've got another attorney I could send down instead.
Okay. Would you be doing this instead of the 19th or in addition to the 19th?
In addition. And then we need to get everything lined out so that we can begin our hearings then on the 13th of June, or if we go the 31st, the 19th, then we could skip until the night of the second or third of June, and then that gives them a week to prepare the maps, and we start on the 13th. So what we would do, May the 19th, and then like June the second, Thursday, June the second.
Is that it? Is your assumption that on the 19th we're going to get most of this accomplished?
Well, no. Hopefully we would, and then we would come back and make sure on the 3rd that
second.
The 2nd that this is where we want to go so that when we start on the 13th, that hopefully we would, because it seems like we're sort of zeroing in specifically on 9-member configuration, but we want to look at and consider the 11 and the 13 so that in the end we would, it looks like we would have 2 plans to recommend to the Borough Assembly for their consideration. So I think that with the help from GIS and whatnot, we just have to look at and just take into consideration the population, the districting, and how it all is going to fit together. Keeping in mind that every time we change something, there is a the possible domino effect, or at least you have to tweak the boundaries a little bit. So hopefully we would then do that on the 19th and then June the 2nd. Does that fit with y'all's schedule? Okay.
Not the 31st?
No, we'll just go with June. Okay. And then that way we have an idea. And that'll be at 4 p.m. also on June the 2nd. Okay? Okay, so we've done that, and we have our public hearing schedule. And so unless there's something else, we are adjourned. And thank you all very kindly, and we'll go from there.
Sorry.
Oh, Mr. Sack?
He's gone.
Okay. We're adjourned.
Okay, I understand. I'm still here if you need to talk to me.